This is Agriculture Today.
So we have had hundreds, if not thousands, of meetings with stakeholders who have an interest. And, you know, certainly I take your point. You know, a big company with lobbyists, you know, they have more resources to come in and talk about it. We also talk to trade associations who represent a broader group. And we do talk to small businesses. And often we talk to congressional offices where small businesses feel like they have a larger voice.
U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer on Capitol Hill in front of a House subcommittee on appropriations.
With the Section 301 investigations we're doing, these do in fact have, by law, a public process. And so we just closed yesterday our comment process that was very public. Federal Register notice went out. Everyone had weeks. And so now everyone in my office is going to start going through these. There will be further Federal Register notices out there where folks can comment. So I agree. I think it's a great policy to have.
Now, speaking of trade, grain export demand remains solid, led by strong corn and sorghum movement. Soybean shipments continue to lag year over year, and USDA reports total export inspections for the week that ended April 16th, 3.14 million metric tons. Corn inspections, 65.7 million bushels, up from the previous week with strong demand from Mexico, Japan, and Colombia. Soybean inspections near 27.5 million bushels, showing an improvement week over week, but still trailing last year's pace. Wheat inspections, 19 million bushels, nearly doubled the previous week, showing renewed export activity, and sorghum exports, 8 million bushels, China the primary destination. California's fuel system, not really built around higher ethanol blends like E15. We're hearing a lot of talk about renewed interest in codifying year-round availability of E15. But in California, instead, it's based on carbon intensity. So it reshapes how ethanol demand develops in the nation's largest gasoline market. Now, California's Low Carbon Fuel Standard, or LCFS, rewards fuels with lower life cycle emissions rather than higher blending volumes. So while most gasoline in California remains at E10, ethanol still plays a critical role by generating carbon credits when it meets lower emission thresholds. And it creates a different opportunity for ag. Instead of driving demand through volume, California incentivizes cleaner production methods. That's ethanol tied to carbon capture, improved efficiency, or alternative feedstocks. Sorghum-based ethanol, one example that's gaining attention. In regions where sorghum requires fewer inputs and offers improved sustainability metrics, it actually can qualify for favorable carbon scores under that LCFS program. So for producers, it shifts a focus from simply producing more bushels to producing a crop that can meet evolving environmental standards tied to fuel markets. Well, rising milk production is increasing supply in 2026, but stronger exports and improving dairy prices helping support the market outlook for producers. USDA says milk production forecast 235.3 billion pounds, driven by a larger dairy herd, offsetting slightly lower output per cow. And this is Agriculture Today.
Introducing the heavyweight champion of the livestock operation, Case IH Farmall Utility Series Tractors.
Farmall Utility Tractors don't just outweigh the competition. They're engineered to distribute weight where it works, from the transmission, central housing, and axles to the differentials and final drives. So add some weight to your operation and go the distance with Farmall Utility Tractors.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
The thing lean friendly.
Bob Maurer, Manduka Trading in Chicago on the latest cattle on feed report.
On feed numbers came in slightly below year ago levels. Placements were a little bit lighter. Marketings were relatively strong. So net net, you would have thought it might have had a little bit of a bullish tint to it, but that's not where the market moved. So what could be happening there, right? A couple of the positive side things for the cattle market. Cash cattle, we'll call it steady in the upper 240s mostly last week. So that's a good thing. The ongoing tighter year over year beef supply that remains structurally supportive even during these corrections in my estimation. And herd expansion seems like it's more limited, right? And one of the things, too, which is kind of interesting, is that with this ongoing drought that's developed in the plains, you would expect that to be a significant headwind in terms of any kind of herd rebuilding. So we'll watch how that plays out. Some of the more dominant negative factors of late, spec liquidation, funds still remain heavily long feeder cattle and live cattle. And as long as we continue to see any kind of push to the downside in any considerable fashion, you might see them hit the exits, which would add to the momentum to the downside. To that point, a little bit of technical damage also. Carcass weights, it's well known that they remain historically large, so that's another just negative impact, although I guess it could be argued that the market's already known that for quite some time and the market still has held up pretty good in the live cattle futures. And then I guess the main thing, though, of late, box beef values have softened slightly. So in terms of the wholesale output, in terms of pricing, we're seeing a little bit of softness there. So we'll see if that continues to be a development. One other aspect, there's been some talk about loose windows in terms of when and if things might start to reopen out of Mexico for feeder cattle. We might start getting that supply again. So, you know, there's chat right now that about when an announcement might come, but the details of the announcement are a little bit, you know, iffy. So really it's just one of those things where the futures market does what it's supposed to do, which is factor in all available information. And I think at the moment it's looking at that as a potentially bearish element. So we'll see how that plays out. As for hogs, I mean, just briefly, near-term bearishness still, even though we had a little bit of a bounce today, we've seen some fund liquidation. I think that's playing out pretty well, though, so maybe there isn't going to be as much going forward if the market can stabilize. Supply remains ample. Cash hogs have not really strengthened much at all. Packer margins, though, have improved, and the market is technically becoming oversold. I don't necessarily always buy into that oversold thing because I think you can stay oversold for quite some time.
And how about the wheat market?
It's pretty much sitting up there towards its highs, regardless of whether you're looking at the KC, which has a comparative advantage over the Chicago wheat futures at the moment, or the Minneapolis. You know, those are both, all three of those are pretty much staying up towards the top 20% of their ranges. And really, that's indicative of the rather averse weather that we've seen so far. If we get some precipitation and it's meaningful and it's good coverage, then maybe things can turn around and there's going to be a percentage of the crop that is definitely going to improve from that. But if we don't really see anything consistent or steady, I would imagine that these markets are going to stay at the lofty levels that they're at, just to discount the fact that the expectations for yield and production would be lower.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
Last week, during a swing through the heart of American manufacturing in Michigan and Ohio, I was encouraged to see the results of a $13 billion investment by the owners of the Dodge and Jeep brands and the return of auto production lines to America from overseas.
Testifying before a House subcommittee on appropriations, Ambassador Jamison Greer, U.S. Trade Representative.
A $60 million expansion by Whirlpool, creating an additional 150 jobs in Clyde, Ohio, and highly automated facilities producing drones, tooling and dies, and solar panels. I can't account for New York State policies and taxes that drive away business, because all of these other developments are being spurred by President Trump's tariffs. And alongside the tariff program, the president has also secured deals with numerous trading partners to address the unfair practices that contributed to our trade deficit. And these new trade deals cover over half the world's population. We have 9 agreements on reciprocal trade with countries like Malaysia, Cambodia, El Salvador, Guatemala, Argentina, Bangladesh, Taiwan, Indonesia, and Ecuador. And they represent real, meaningful new market access for American exports, the kind that American farmers and manufacturers were promised that the World Trade Organization would achieve but did not. We've also inked deals with the United Kingdom, the European Union, Japan, and South Korea. And we're looking forward to finalize even more deals in the weeks and months ahead. And these agreements have achieved longstanding U.S. trade priorities, many that have festered for decades, including the lowering of foreign tariffs on most U.S. exports and elimination of unfair non-tariff barriers. For example, 8 countries have exempted American meat and cheese products from geographical indication rules that prevented the use of common marketing terms. 11 countries have agreed to accept U.S. automotive emission and safety standards. 9 countries have agreed to accept U.S. FDA approvals for new treatment and medicines. We've also received strong commitments from our trading partners to enhance intellectual property protection, provide a level playing field for U.S. companies with respect to their domestic labor and environmental protection standards, and improve coordination on economic security. The president's trade program continues despite the Supreme Court's decision in February. Within hours, the president reimposed tariffs using Section 122, and a few weeks ago, we signed another agreement on reciprocal trade with Ecuador. So the program continues. And as we continue to address our trading partners' unfair practices, we are using our investigatory powers granted to us by Congress to investigate forced labor in other countries and structural excess capacity that lead to global imbalances. In President Trump's first term, this tool, Section 301, was used to great effect to establish a stable and durable approach to trade that has received bipartisan support. As you know, the Section 301 tariffs on China for forced technology are still in effect today. Not only did President Biden keep those tariffs in place, but he even expanded them, showing bipartisan support for this tool. So with all of this new work, USTR needs to have the resources to meet the need. The USTR team is dedicated to helping American blue-collar workers, American farmers, and families in the communities they support. But we can only meet those obligations we have to Americans if we have the resources that we need. Whether it's negotiating new agreements or enforcing agreements, we need to be able to have the personnel to do that. Last year, this committee heard our call for more resources and generously increased USTR's appropriation, and we're spending that money now to hire new negotiators, economists, attorneys, and other subject matter experts. And these help strengthen the agency for the benefit of the American people. And so this year, President Trump has requested that USTR's budget be increased to $95 million, $7 million total increase over FY 2026. And this will enable us to do the hiring we need to secure a level playing field, secure new market access for American farmers and workers, reindustrialize our country, and fully achieve all the wins we've gained through our agreements on reciprocal trade. And I think our shared interest in doing what's best for America should allow us to continue to meaningfully collaborate as we work together. And I approach this hearing in that spirit.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
You know, definitely not on the friendly side. I think cash was maybe a little stagnant. I don't want to call it negative to the market, but, you know, it was definitely not a bullish move for the complex as a whole. Everybody was obviously priced a little bit higher than that 248 that cleaned up a lot of the trade. And second week in a row where guys were priced at 250 or above and end up trading for 248 later in the week. So wasn't a friendly move to the market, I think, as we saw here today. And then Friday, you know, when the market kind of rolled over there, it really put the kibosh to any hopes of higher cattle.
Zach Tindall's with Producers Livestock. Last year, cash trade was 210 in the south, 212 to 214 in the north. Just really having a hard time getting going right now.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. 212.60 was the weighted average for last week. A year ago in the north and south, 209.75. And then you look at last week, 246 to a little bit of outside trade at 249 up here in the north and mainly 248 in the south. But the big difference is the basis compared to the April contract. A year ago, we were 308 positive on cash over the board. And last week, I mean, depending on when you sold, I called it $2 negative last week compared to the April board. So you got a $5 difference in that. So as you said, the futures have worked higher and are a good percentage higher than they were a year ago. And so is the cash, but just not quite as much as what the futures are. So I think you look at the product value, the box beef value, maybe not quite as well along, especially on the choice. Select boxes are $60, $61 higher than a year ago, but choice is only $48 higher. So you look at that, you look at packers trying to string out these numbers of cattle or the kill and create that smaller just to try and string out these fat cattle and try and help their margins. So there's a lot more going on, a lot more complexity than a year ago. We thought last year was very complex with everything going on, but now we've got more factors, less cattle, you know, just a whole different set of intervals and things that affect this market that are going on right now.
Carcasses are grading 8% select, choice 73% to 74%, and 15% are prime.
That's what the packers have always wanted. I mean, if they could get 100% of the animals prime, I think they'd be in a good boat. Now we're probably too high, you know, compared to normal standards, especially with the overall price of beef. You're seeing the people or the consumer at the meat counter maybe gravitate towards select cuts or ground beef just because it's still beef, but it's a cheaper option. So now, I mean, the beef on dairy deal has definitely helped a lot. I mean, those cattle are typically on feed a little longer, and the longer days on feed, the better grade you're typically going to have. But then you take the Mexican cattle out of the scenario. You know, we've been making carcasses bigger. As an industry, I mean, economically it's been fine, but the packers have kind of enticed that a little bit with slowing the kill down, and they know they have less cattle, but that doesn't mean that per capita consumption has gone down. So they're trying to keep the number of overall harvested pounds as high as it was a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago, pick your number, but do it with less cattle. So in order to get more weight on these cattle, whether they're dairy cross or just your standard commodity cattle here in the U.S., you're going to have to feed them longer to get them bigger. So if those cattle can carry those pounds, guys are going to continue to do it because economically it's helped. I mean, if you want to call cost to gain a dollar a pound and say you get them up over 1,400 pounds, your efficiency goes down and that cost to gain jumps up to, say, $1.20 or $1.30, say your number, and you're selling fat cattle for $2.40 or $2.50, every pound you put on is economically helping you because it's costing you almost half the price to put it on as to what you're getting for it. So these dairy cross calves, yeah, they've been on feed longer. It's helped our grade too, but there's a lot of other things going on as well as these dairy crosses that have helped promote the choice and beef prime or the choice and prime grades right now.
It's Agriculture Today.
Introducing the heavyweight champion of the livestock operation, Case IH Farmall Utility Series Tractors.
Farmall Utility Tractors don't just outweigh the competition. They're engineered to distribute weight where it works, from the transmission, central housing, and axles to the differentials and final drives. So add some weight to your operation and go the distance with Farmall Utility Tractors.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
On the campaign trail in office, President Trump made a lot of promises about trade policy, about putting more money in our pockets, create millions and millions of new manufacturing jobs. That was the most pro-American manufacturing and jobs policy, jobs in factories. This is all quotes. Jobs in factories will come roaring back into our country. There's a reality here, which is different.
Ranking member of the House Appropriations Committee from Connecticut, former member of the House Ag Committee, Rosa DeLauro, questioning U.S. Trade Representative Ambassador Jamison Greer.
The tariffs have exacerbated the cost of living crisis. American families paid more than $1,700 each in tariff costs last year. Things are only getting worse as the war of choice with Iran continues to drive up the cost of gas, groceries, everyday goods. Question of manufacturing and jobs. U.S. trade deficit in manufactured goods was $62 billion higher in 2025 compared to 2024. Not exactly the manufacturing renaissance that was promised. So, Ambassador Greer, how many manufacturing jobs do you know that the United States lost per day during the president's first year in office?
So the last 2 years of the Biden administration, 230,000 manufacturing jobs were lost. In the first quarter of this year, we have net positive on manufacturing jobs. After 40 years of offshoring, it takes more than 1 year to get them all back.
Well, but let me tell you what the Bureau of Labor Statistics has said, okay? I read it. U.S. manufacturing lost more than 100 jobs per day from February 2025 to February 2026. That's more than 88,000 in total. Not a trade policy that delivers for working people.
Greer, though, said the policy is working.
I want to make one overarching point, and that is that President Trump's trade policy is working for the American people. The U.S. goods trade deficit has decreased by 24% between April 2025, when tariffs first went into place, through February 2026, compared to the same period a year earlier. So 24% decrease. It's gone down by over 30% with China in particular, so we're diversifying away from that, which is a positive. U.S. exports reached $302 billion in January 2026 and nearly $315 billion in February 2026, the highest monthly export figures in U.S. history. So when I hear people say that somehow our exports are affected, it's for the positive. We've never exported so much from the United States as we are now. Food and agricultural exports rose by double digits in 2025. Manufacturing labor productivity registered its highest annual increase in 15 years, and manufacturing workers' wages are up by an average of $1,800. We produced more steel than Japan last year for the first time in a long time, and orders for capital equipment that go into factories are surging, all because President Trump decided to take trade seriously. And as you know and has been discussed, last April, President Trump imposed reciprocal tariffs in response to the national emergency caused by our large and persistent trade deficit of $1.2 trillion, which had increased by 40% over the previous 4 years. The result is that we had lost and continue to lose the manufacturing capacity that supports our workers, fuels U.S. innovation, and safeguards our economic and national security. And these tariffs have been instrumental in creating a level playing field for American workers and creating incentives to build, grow, and produce more in the United States at a higher wage for our workers.
And when asked why the tariff refunds don't go to the consumers that paid them.
The one thing I'd say is Governor Pritzker's attorney general asked for the money to go to the corporations, so he gets what he lays in the bed that he made. We have asked companies that they should give, if they get a refund, they should give it to their workers as bonuses. It was money in the general treasury. It was going toward the reindustrialization of America. And the Democrat attorney general said, no, we want to go back to the companies who import foreign goods made by foreign workers. Like, that's the law.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Given we sort of test drove Ranchbot in Australia before we moved the manufacturing and the head office of the company to Texas, Australia is a pretty big place too and sort of familiar with remote areas, as is West Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and, you know, many other places across, you know, the United States.
Founder and CEO of Ranchbot is Andrew Coppin. He talks about how the technology can work even in remote areas.
So we took a satellite-first view of technology and said all our devices should be able to connect directly to satellite so that cellular coverage and internet access is not an issue. And so of the 40,000-plus devices we've got out in the field today, they're all talking directly to satellites, telling ranchers to their cell phone, you know, if they've got a leak, if the pump is on or off, you know, and a variety of other things, you know, about weather, rainfall, you know, et cetera. So they don't need to go there and they can know in real time via satellite what's happening. So that's how we conquered the technology challenge of internet connectivity in remote areas.
When it comes to the cattle industry and ag in general, what's his biggest concern?
Well, I really do think that we as a race, we're underestimating the criticality of water supply and its impact across all industry and our lives. I mean, we're coming from a pretense that, you know, isn't water free? Doesn't it come from under the ground or doesn't it fall from the sky? But yet we've got a finite amount of water on the planet and we're growing, you know, urban sprawl, data centers, population growth, you know, more and more subdivisions and property development, and the demands on our water supply are becoming intense. If we don't start managing that well and collectively well, you know, we all want to eat and we all want to have milk and we all want to have a nice house and maybe a well and, you know, grow a few cows. There's nothing wrong with any of those needs, but they're all going to need to harmonize to better use our available resources. And water is the key input that is really probably the most poorly managed asset on the earth. So we really need to prioritize water and water infrastructure across our cities and our ranching lands if we're going to be able to sustain the planet in the manner in which we're accustomed. That's the biggest concern for me.
But what's he most excited about?
I think I've spent the last, you know, 12 years of my life doing nothing other than technology for ranching. It's come a long way over that period. But I think what I'm most excited about is there's now a group of companies that are global companies that are all working together to try and solve the big challenges for ranching. I've never met a rancher that wants 7 apps to run the show. They'd much prefer that the technologies were harmonizing and collaborating and working well together. And there's now a group of companies that are really working hard to deliver those results for ranching, which will ultimately mean, you know, creating an ecosystem around technology for ranching. I mean, it's a critical sector for our planet. It needs to continue to innovate and, you know, the adoption of new technologies to get more efficient, more productive, more sustainable and resilient outcomes in a weather volatile world are essential. So I'm really excited about where that's at and what the next 2 to 3 years holds in that regard.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.